Hello, everybody.
Good evening. How are you? It's time for the call at 6 p.m. Pacific time. And
on the 15th.
Exactly. And this is Robert.
And it's the 15th of the month.
Time for the call. This is Robert and Donna Schuler. We've been doing this for 9 years, only on the 15th of every month. So you're either joining us here on Facebook Live or you're joining us via our conference call number, which we've been doing for 9 years because there wasn't a Facebook Live 9 years ago, and some people still like joining that way. So we're not going to discontinue anything. We're going to continue to add on. And
absolutely.
We're always glad you're here. This is our favorite time of our favorite day of the month. Our favorite day actually is Sunday, but this is our favorite date consistently, the 15th of the month, because it's the only day we do this, the 15th of the month. Today happens to be Saturday, so we're preparing for church tomorrow, but it doesn't always fall on a Saturday. So
sometimes it's Sunday, and that's a little tough.
When
it's a holiday, and if we're in the middle of nowhere, that makes it the most challenging one we ever had, of course, was Lake Powell.
Yeah, the most challenging one was in the United States here in Lake Powell. It was more challenging than in Africa, in the Philippines, in some of the jungles we've been in, Korea, you know, so on and so forth. But we were a little late tonight because our son, our youngest son, his wife, and their eight-month-old baby, actually, I think she might be 9 months old.
Nine months old.
Oh, goodness. They stopped by for a while, and so we lost track of time. We said, we got to get going here. So they just
And of course, she's the most beautiful baby world, period, bar
none. She's darling.
This is our grandbaby.
And she's got, I'm looking at all kinds of toys and stuff here. Look, I'll share a couple with you.
You disappeared, Donna. Here's coming back with
a toy. Sharing a couple of toys. See, these are all on the floor in front of us right here. You can't see it all, but there's dolls and everything else. So we were having some fun.
Yeah, now you got it going.
I can turn this off.
No. Oh my goodness. So
we got some noise.
Anyway. Oh well.
We got a singing cow on the floor.
We're having fun.
We try to have fun and talk about God because you know what. God loves us to have fun. He wants us to be joyful.
Well, life's too short not to make the best out of it and have some fun. And so we do. We've had plenty of fun in our life. And at the same time, we've used our skills and our talents for the glory of God in every way we possibly can. Because we know that there are new possibilities available today that have never been available before. And that means there are new opportunities. And there are new ways to be able to communicate the good news of Jesus Christ with people. And that's what we do. We've been doing it forever, and we'll continue to do that forever. In fact, my mission statement was an inspiration distributor. And that was the short term of my mission statement for my life that I wrote, 45 years ago. And it simply means that I want to inspire people, which means to breathe the breath of life into. And in many ways, that's what we're talking about tonight, the new possibilities that we have today to be able to breathe the breath of life into our friends, our neighbors, our associates, people we meet on the street, no matter what it is, there are new possibilities today.
Well, you said it was your, you kept saying was.
It still is.
It is.
I wrote it, but it is. It is.
I just wanted to clarify that because I know you didn't just push it over to the sky.
I wrote it a million years ago when I was a very, very young man in my 20s. And it served me well because it includes my books. It includes my preaching. It includes traveling.
People.
It includes my family. It includes everything.
It's true.
So it's a really good. So an inspiration distributor. I distribute inspiration to breathe the breath of life into.
I love it.
Inspire people.
I've heard it a million times. I still love it. It's a great thing. Would you like to open with prayer?
Yeah, let's do that. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time where we can gather together on the 15th of the month at 6 p.m. Pacific time. And no matter where we are in the world, we can gather together and we can worship and praise you. And so today we thank you for the new possibilities that we have today to be able to worship you, to be able to express our love for you, to be able to share your love with others, and to inspire people. And so open our hearts, our minds, and our souls to the reality of your goodness that is taking place right now everywhere we move and we look. And so you are a God of miracles. So we praise your name always and forever. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So again, this is part of the Robert Schuller Ministries, a church with no walls. And we are sitting here with one wall behind us, but we're looking at the open sky in front of us, some beautiful trees, part of a golf course. We've got an American flag blowing in the breeze and a pine tree in the distance. And, you know, it's really important to enjoy the glory of God through the outdoors. And so we've been doing this for a while, and we will take this call, this live call. It's both on the laptop here through Free Conference Call and on Facebook Live, and we will turn it. It's on a podcast after this at Robert Schuller Ministries podcast, and that's the good news. It's up forever and ever and ever. So that's when people typically watch it, is afterwards. Oh, and we'll also keep it posted here on Facebook. So
and you'll also put it on YouTube, on our YouTube channel.
Sometimes it gets on there.
Well, we have lots of different things we're doing, and you're looking at our staff. This is it. And
that's why sometimes it gets on there.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, one of the things we like to do is we like to pray. We like to read scriptures. We like to interview different guests. Tell them about our guests that we have next month.
Next month.
Yeah.
15th. So we don't always have a guest. We had a guest last month. We have a guest next month. Today we're going to be just talking to you about new possibilities, like Robert said. So we have a bunch of stuff to talk to you about tonight. But next month, you do not want to miss this. I'm going to do a lot of listing, I guess you would say, advertising this for next month, June 15th, because we have a man. His name is Jim Gale, G-A-L-E, and you should look this up, Food Forest Abundance. And what he does, he goes around all over the nation. I believe he's been all over the world. He actually lived in Costa Rica. And this is where I think this he had this aha moment, looking at how the forests, most of the things he saw in the forest were all edible, and how they lived together, and how these plants lived in harmony and fed off each other's nutrients, et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, he helped people with food forests in their very own backyard. And I told him...
Not only their backyard, the front yard. Wherever it's going to be most effective.
Exactly. Like you can take some of your grass out and you can do a food forest in the front. Anyway, he's an expert in this, food forest abundance. And I told him, I said, we're going to have a lot of people on that are like we are. You know, we're semi-retired. We're not really... we're retirement age.
We're retirement age, but this is our retirement. We've got starting churches, writing books.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So we have a balcony. I said, I want to use this balcony upstairs. The one out here we have a table on, but we have a balcony. I want him... it's more than just potted plants. There's nothing wrong with that, but it's more than an herb garden. I'm going to go back and I'm going to have a new one of those. I've had those in the past, but this is about creating a food forest. I said, can we do it on a balcony? He said, absolutely, we can do it. So next month, June 15th, same time, 6 p.m. here and on Facebook Live, and also, you know, on our podcast. So if you ever missed any of this, you can just look it up, Robert Schuller Ministries podcast, Robert Schuller Ministries Facebook, and then just if you want to see the 15th of the month, just type in 15th of the month.
Well, hopefully he can do something with our balcony. Our balcony is really small.
It's
so we can do it with 7 by 12.
It's not a huge
balcony. And so it's not a big balcony. So if we can get some food to grow on that balcony, that would be fantastic.
And this is a
perfect... I love growing our own
absolutely
food.
And, you know, this is a perfect time because I think we're learning through this you know, this whole thing that's happened to us all over the last, 14 months now? I was trying to think how long it's been, 14 months, that we need to start taking better care of ourselves. That means we need to start taking better responsibility in our water, in our food sources.
Yep.
And if you haven't done it before, you know, you need to start thinking about having just, in case your water gets turned off one day. I mean, just for a couple of weeks. I mean, there's we've been reading about rolling blackouts in California through the summer months. Now, we don't live in a terribly hot place.
This past week, of course, they had the problem with the gas shortage in the southeast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think we're going to have water issues here in the southwest come this summer.
Mm-hmm.
So there's lots of different things that we have to be aware of. And
then, of course, the price of food, the inflation. Yeah. Inflation has hit, and price of food and all kinds of goods and services are going up. So whatever you can provide for your family and for yourself, do it and learn to do it.
Because there are new possibilities today.
Yes.
Yeah, so, that's what we're talking about, new possibilities today. And every obstacle we face is an opportunity for us to be able to find ways to get around it and find new ways to function and to use life. So I'm really excited about that. So would you like to read our scripture, or do you want me to read it?
Whichever.
Okay.
Would you like to read it?
Sure, I'll read it then. Okay.
You can see we know what we're going to do, but we are very we go with the flow.
Yeah, we're here. We hope you enjoy this time. This is the time where you hopefully you learn something, you get something out of it, but at the same time you're entertained and it's fun and you have a chance to listen. I'm assuming you all can see the other responses of other people when you're watching this live. And I know we could see all the names of everybody who comes up here. For instance, right now we have to right now I'm looking at the name of Helen Ricks. I don't think I've seen that name before, but welcome, Helen. And Janet, that's a regular, and I could scroll back, but it's always fun for us to be able to see the comments and just get the questions, and if we see them, we will try to respond. But I'm going to read from Acts, the very first chapter, and the reason I'm doing that is this tomorrow is Ascension Sunday. In fact, my message is going to be all on Ascension, and I have done a reading. I put a lot of work into this reading that she's going to be doing tomorrow, because what I did is I took all of the topics from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the conclusions of those four Gospels, and then I incorporated that with Acts, and you have a full, complete account of the final moments of Jesus before he ascends into heaven. So she's going to read that tomorrow morning. So if you can come back tomorrow morning at 8 a.m., you can hear that reading. But otherwise, I'm going to read just straight from Acts, the first chapter, starting with the very first verse, and I'm going to read through verse 11. And this is, again, the ascension of Jesus, which is recorded. One of the ascensions is recorded in the book of Acts, the very first chapter. So in case you don't know where that is, in the New Testament, you have the Bible divided up into the Old and the New Testament. The New Testament starts off with the four Gospels, which is the life of Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And immediately following that, you have the Acts of the Apostles, which begins with the ascension of Jesus into heaven, and then tells all about what happened to the Church of Jesus Christ, what happened to the apostles after Jesus ascended into heaven. So,
can I say something
for you?
Well, what's been interesting to me is that for most Christians, we celebrate Easter, which will be 40 days ago tomorrow, right?
Uh-huh.
We celebrate Easter, and then we're like, okay, we're done. On to the next weekend, on to the next, you know, it's sort of like Christmas. Okay, out with the Christmas tree, in with New Year's.
Well, at least we give Christmas 4 or 5 weeks.
Exactly. But with Easter, we usually give it one day, most of us in Western civilization who are Christians. But the fact is that Jesus remained, after the resurrection, he remained with his disciples for 40 days. So we've been concentrating on that every Sunday. And then, as Robert said, this Sunday tomorrow is the ascension, because Jesus ascends into heaven. So I just think that's fascinating, because it's really the first time in my life, in my church life, that I really have had a great chance to really concentrate and really ponder the fact that, you know, 40 days is a long time.
Yeah.
It's over a month.
Yeah, Jesus is still appearing to the apostles.
Yeah.
Up until tomorrow.
Exactly. And so he did a lot of teaching and how important those days on earth were. And anyway, I'll let you read. Sorry.
Absolutely. So here I'm reading from Acts, starting with the first verse of the very first chapter of the book of Acts. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard from me, heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when they met together, he asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel?" And Jesus said to them, "It is not for you to know the time or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up at the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you've seen him leave and go into heaven." The Word of God. That's our reading.
Great.
So the ascension of Jesus. He ascended into the sky, and today he sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. And from there he shall judge the living and the dead.
So what does this mean to us? Why, you know, why is the ascension important? What if Jesus had just hung out for a year?
For a year instead of 40 days.
What if he lived out his whole life and didn't ascend? What if,
Well, the Bible tells us that the reason he ascended into heaven was to empower the apostles with the Holy Spirit, and that gives him, by him ascending into heaven, it allows his Holy Spirit to do its work, which is to touch the hearts and lives of his people and to share his good news. Here he says right very plainly, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And Donna and I have gone to the ends of the earth sharing the good news of Jesus. There isn't a place we won't go. I mean, we've been to Mongolia. We've been to Paraguay. We've been
all over Africa.
Everywhere. So, So we've been to the heart of South America, and there's no place we won't go to share
Middle
the good
East,
news of Jesus
been to the
Christ
Middle East.
A numerous times. Yeah. Mm-hmm. In fact, we need to pray for the Middle East because of the conflicts that are taking place right now between Gaza and Israel. Here is this place of peace, and yet they have more war than we have anywhere. And I think it's really important for us to realize that we come together and we worship the Prince of Peace. And as we worship the Prince of Peace and we're empowered by his Holy Spirit, it doesn't mean we're never... Oh, yeah, we got to get that over here.
Sorry, if the sound went away, the Bible was laying on top of the phone.
So it doesn't mean we're never going to have challenges. It doesn't mean we're not going to have struggles. It doesn't mean we're not going to have relationship troubles. It does mean that we're going to be empowered by the Holy Spirit of God to be able to take the bad that happens and turn it into good. And so my prayer for the state of Israel and for Gaza is that they will find peace in such a way that both entities can thrive and find coexistence in peace and in love. Because I know there's a way for the Palestinians and the Israelites to be able to coexist and show common respect and understanding of life and find a future together. I know it's been a long time. I've seen a lot of progress, actually, in my life. First time I went to Israel was in 72, which is only 5 years after the 67 war. And the following year, there was another war, and there's been wars ever since. But the fact is that I am convinced that they're making progress, and it's moving towards peace, and that in my lifetime we will see complete peace in the Middle East. So that's our prayer.
I hope that's true. I do. I hope that's true. It's very troubling. So the possibilities, you know, we're still living in crazy times here.
Yeah. And California is worse than others as far as things that are going on.
Well, I think that I'm just talking about the, you know, mask, no mask, vaccine, no vaccine. You can go here, you can't go there. We just got back from Hawaii. Our daughter, Christina, and her husband, and their three little kids, their baby and their two little kids, decided to take a month, and my son-in-law is working abroad, remotely. His office is here in Orange County, but they sold their house, and so they had an opportunity to take a month there, and they rent a condo. So we had an opportunity last Monday through Friday. We got back late last night. Not that late, but it feels late. I'm tired. A three-hour time change is a lot to do in just like 4.5 days. But what's my point? My point is that, getting to Hawaii, I mean, this is our own country, the United States of America. We had to jump through so many hoops. We had to go into Hawaii.gov, and it's called a safe travel part. And so we had to, there's a website that coordinates with the airline we took, which happened to be Southwest, because I fly free on Southwest because I'm a companion ticket. Because we, anyway, long story. So he flew for points. I flew for, because I'm a companion ticket. How much did that chart?
$22.
$22. Yeah, and then we were, this is great. We've arrived. You know you've arrived when your kids host you. I mean, we stayed in their condo. They picked us up in their rental car. And I'm like, wow, I think we paid for a couple meals.
So the most expensive part of the trip was our COVID test.
So back to that. So we had to navigate this site. And I feel so bad for people that don't spend hours on a computer every day, that don't run, like we run our ministry, a lot of it, through the internet. And for people that are even older than we are, for people that just don't have this ability, I would guess maybe there's a service you hire to do this, but we had to go, I don't think so. We had to figure it out. You have to go and you have to get a COVID test, but it can't just be anywhere. Had to be approved by the Hawaiian state government. Cost us $139 each. Like we said, much more expensive than our ticket. And it was a drive-through window at a CVS. But you can't just go to any CVS. It had to be one of the ones that was approved. Then you had to have that done. And then they had to send you the digital copy 2 days, 2 to 3 days later. So you had to have it. No, you know, anyway, it was just a mess. Now, my test said it was uploaded. Negative. We were both negative, of course, so we wouldn't have been able to go. But my test was uploaded into the Hawaii.gov site. But when I got to the airport here at Long Beach to fly to Hawaii, they're like, sorry, ma'am, nope. She had her laptop. She's like, it's not here. You don't get a wristband. I'm like, no. I go, what does that mean? Are you going to turn me around when we get to Honolulu?
Oh, you freaked out.
Well, of course I freaked out.
She was very upset.
And I went online immediately, just like 20 minutes before boarding, 45 minutes before departure. So I got my laptop out. I'm like, you know, shaking. I can't get in there. We can't get a good signal. We're trying to use our phone for Wi-Fi. I get in there, and sure enough, it's in there. It's loaded in there. And I click on it. It says verified, negative, you're in here. So I walked back through the line as calm as I could. And I showed the lady. I go, hey, I was just here. And they send you a QR code. So here's my QR code on my phone right here. And I'm the one that came up. And here's a laptop. I'm logged in. See right here? Sorry, ma'am. They didn't send the information to us. So, well, I'm just like, who's us? So anyway, the point is, this is the United States of America. Our Constitution gives us the right to travel between states,
interstate
freely. But clearly, that is not the situation right now.
Not
anyway,
right now.
Good news is, I got to Hawaii. He got to go through like the happy line
with
a wristband. And luckily, it wasn't crowded. I had to go into a tent with like eight agents. literally Asians with
uniforms.
They had
to go through the processes.
And they're like,
they
said
you have to get processed.
Oh, yeah. They call it process. Those with wristbands may go to the left. Those without wristbands will be processed. Process! That was the word. So I got processed. I got through. The good news is you don't have to do it on the way back into California yet, hopefully never. But it's just very interesting time we're living in. Then we get home. The day before we get home, we hear, oh, now we don't have to wear masks anymore. Oh, no, you do. Oh, no, you don't. Supposedly Costco and Walmart, no masks. A store called Sprouts in California, no masks. But then if you want to go to Target, you have to wear a mask. It's just, it's so confusing.
Anyway.
And God's got a plan in all this. And we can't stress about it. We have to look outside and go, it's a beautiful day. Life is good. God is good. God is faithful. You know, it's just one more hoop to jump through. And, you know, I feel like, I don't know. Just
anyway, here's the good news.
Yes. What is
the good news? The good news is that we are getting through this. We're going to be better because of it. There is a plan to all of this to help us understand the realization that we are fragile, that life is a gift from God, that death is going to knock on every single door of every single human being. And that's why it is important for us to share the good news of Jesus Christ, to realize that when that day comes, our Master, our Savior, our Lord, Jesus Christ, is sitting next to God, welcoming us into heaven, because we're all going. It's just a matter of where we're going. And as we embrace the truth and of Jesus Christ, we know that where we're going, and that's going to be experiencing eternal life with God forever. So anyway,
that's true.
The challenge of life.
All true. And the thing is that people are facing these kinds of challenges every day. So we're not supposed to just ignore it. We're supposed to stand up. I have to say this. We have to, you know, we have to be kind. We have to be compassionate to others. We have to be understanding as followers of Jesus. But it doesn't mean we have to be doormats. It doesn't mean we have to be silent. It doesn't mean we don't stand up for ourselves, stand up for our rights, that we don't move forward and try to help people disseminate this information and learn the truth and be good citizens of the planet. Good citizens and good, responsible, you know, we have children and grandchildren now. We want to be good examples to them. But at the same time, like I say, you don't want to be a doormat. You don't want people walking all over you. You got to stand up for, you know, this is the United States. We have a constitution. We have the Bible. We have the constitution. The constitution was written for.
I am a student of history.
Yes, you are.
And my history really begins that I have studied really begins in the Babylonian Empire 4,000 years before Jesus. And from there to the current era and to where we have today living in our society, I have seen the horrors of war. The genocide was something that was practiced on a regular basis. And the fact of the matter is there are places around the world where genocide is still being practiced, and it's horrible and it's a terrible thing. But if you look at the opportunities and the privileges and the freedoms we still have, not that we don't have as much as we had, say, 40 years ago. 40 years ago, we had amazing freedom here in the United States. Case in point, I when we'd fly, we would have a ticket that was good on any airline at any time. No securities to go through. You could present this ticket 5 minutes before the plane left. They would take it, and you could get on the plane and fly anywhere you want. You didn't have to show an ID to anyone. You didn't have to through a metal detector. You didn't have to go through your bags. Didn't have to go through a radar machine. You just hopped on the plane and went. But what happens is freedom is abused.
Right.
And when freedom is abused, it is abused because people have a sinful nature.
Right.
And because of our sinful nature, we abuse our freedoms. And when we abuse our freedoms, we lose our freedoms. And so that's why it first started, the securities first started, I'm not sure which came first, the hijackings in Cuba? I was going to say the hijackings in Cuba was in the 80s. I was going to say
the hijackings overseas.
I was going to say it would happen. The security started from drug smuggling. So I'm not sure which happened first, but I'm just saying that those securities started coming into effect. And today we have people who are abusing the virus. I don't believe the virus is, I think the reaction to the coronavirus has not been appropriate, has not been with the proper measures. The science that I look at and I read, the papers I have seen and I have studied, and when I look at the death rates and I look at the actual deaths that they're counting and then the deaths they're not counting, for instance, the last toll I heard in the United States of America, according to VAERS, was over 4,000 deaths. VAERS is a government site that people report to, and that there's
it stands for Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting, VAERS.gov.
So the numbers I've seen
but
is
they shut it down. They're not taking.
They're not taking that
no.
anymore.
The government doesn't want anybody else reporting.
So what I have seen, as the last report I saw, was 4,000 deaths from the vaccine, and only 1%, 1 to 10% max gets reported. So you can multiply that number by as much as 100. And that's the death count as a result of people getting the vaccine. So when people say I want the freedom to choose not to get the vaccine, I think it's really important for us to listen and to allow people freedom. I'm all about freedom. I think it's really important for us to have freedom. But along with freedom, we have to have an understanding of biblical principles, Judaic Christian ethics. We have to understand the Ten Commandments. We have to have a realization that we are accountable to a higher authority, that just because we might get away with something here on planet Earth doesn't mean we're going to get away with it forever, that we worship a God who loves us and cares for us, and part of that loving and that caring is discipline. What would a parent be if they had a child who was playing with matches and didn't discipline their child when they play with matches? What would a parent be if they allowed their kids to play with other dangerous things and fool around with things and didn't discipline their children and teach them where the boundaries are so they can live a full and safe life? And that's what the Bible is about with our instructions and laws. And the laws we have is to live with the gifts of the Spirit, which are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. And as we continue to implement these gifts, these tasks that we have from God, then we actually live above the law. Not meaning that we're not accountable to the law, but that the law won't come into play because we are living at a higher standard than the law could ever give us. So the law will naturally be within the framework of the law. That's where we are.
Should we see if anybody, do you have any questions? Does anybody out there have any questions? We usually close about in a couple of minutes.
Oh, man, is this time ever gone by fast?
We can go on here and turn to, you're going to hear this. That's the people that are calling in. If anybody in here on the conference call would like to ask a question, they can just star six, star and the number 6 on your telephone dial here. Otherwise, if anybody would like to write something in now, we can look at the screen, and we will answer or comment on all of your comments after in the next couple of days, because again, it will be posted on Facebook. But for those of you here on the call, please feel free to weigh in, ask us anything you want. Meanwhile, we have to say this is part of the Robert Schuller Ministries, a church with no walls. And this is just one segment of what we do on the 15th of every month. It's called The Call. And we are a church service on Sundays. We do some things during the week, and this on the 15th of every month. And of course, we do this and we can survive because generous people like you give to this ministry. So if you'd like to give to the ministry, you can go to our website, drschuller.org. That's drschuller.org, drschuller.org. A little box will come up. It says, I'd like to give. You can write to us the old-fashioned way, and this is our home office, and our address is Robert Schuller Ministries, 26 Canyon Island Drive, Newport Beach, California, 92660. Again, it's 26, two words, Canyon Island Drive, Newport Beach.
That's three words.
California.
Canyon Island
Drive. Well, Newport Beach. Drive, okay. 26 Canyon Island Drive, Newport Beach, California, 92660. You are correct. The name of our street is two words.
Three words. Canyon Island Drive.
No, drive is no. That's not part of it. No, that's. You can put Canyon Island. Okay, that's it. 26 Canyon Island, Newport Beach, California.
If you want to use the address, it's at the bottom of our website at drschuller.org. So you can go there and find the address. You can also make the donation there if you want. And then, of course, Venmo. And the Venmo address is Robert Schuller Ministries. And so you can Venmo us. And so we just want you to know we really, really appreciate what you're able to do for this ministry. And again, it is a way for us to be able to share with God that we trust in Him more than we trust in our bank accounts, in our checking accounts, in our money, because one of the very first commandments we have from God, the commandment number one is, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Mm-hmm. And I think the number one idol that we have in America and around the world is called the dollar bill. Or maybe it's the British sterling, or maybe it's the your currency.
Cash.
It's the number in your checking account.
It's money.
There you go.
Money.
So we are able to. So by giving a donation to your church, to God, is a way for you to be able to prove to God that He is first in your life. So that's one of the main reasons we give.
So thank you, and there's many people that are on here listening that already support this ministry, and we really appreciate you. We couldn't do what we do without you. And again, join us next month, June 15th. We have an amazing guest that's going to teach us all about turning our front yard or our backyard into
a food forest.
And look him up. His name is Jim Gale, G-A-L-E, and the name of his company is Food Forest Abundance. We will be interviewing him next month on the 15th of June, 6 p.m. Pacific time, right here on Facebook Live.
If it's the 15th of the month?
Yep, it's time for the call.
It's time for the call, 6 p.m. Pacific time. We'll see you then.
Yep.
Thank you for being with us, everybody.
Thank you.
God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow morning, 8 a.m. Pacific time, right here again. See you in the morning.
Have a great Saturday
night.